Seen you locked and changed, didn't ease my pain. Left me feeling ashamed out in the rain. Can't explain the pain, how I stay sane. Don't like the game, will it ever change? Tommy Watson, and welcome to another episode of Resilient Stories Podcast, where we share the grit and glory behind the stories of amazing people like you who have bounced back from failure and adversity, going to live the best lives on purpose. Today's show is being sponsored by Racially Conscious Collaboration. Be sure to go out and support those folks. Their motto is, as long as there's racism in the world, we won't stop fighting. So they're fighting for us out there to keep our rights in place and making sure that, you know, everything is coached in our community. So again, go to raciallyconsciouscollaboration.com, support those folks. So are you guys ready for another amazing show today? Joining me, I have the one and only Deanna Buckner. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing this morning?
I am absolutely wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
Awesome. Well, it's a pleasure. And thank you very much for joining us this morning. So for the listening audience who may not necessarily know who you are, can you briefly tell them who you are? Because you do so many things, man.
I do. I am the founder and CEO of A Diamond in the Rough production, as well as Lady Q Network. I am what I like to call a transformational specialist. So I empower women and young girls to transform into their highest self while living their life unapologetically. And for my synopsis, I use the diamond and the butterfly as the foundation, teaching self-mastery, because before you can help anybody else, you got to know who you are. Right. And so self-mastery is the key. And so I teach transformational messages about simply that.
Man, if you guys are not excited about Kiana and her expertise, you can tell she's an expert. She knows what she's talking about.
You know. Thank you.
What's the name of your organization?
A Diamond in the Rough production.
Okay, and that's a nonprofit organization, right?
Well, I have a nonprofit and a for-profit, yes.
Okay, tell us a little more about what your nonprofit is doing for the young ladies in is it Pittsburgh or Philly?
It's Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Okay, uh-huh.
So the sector of the company that's nonprofit, we have a scholarship program called Gifts for Grads. And So what we do is we furnish dorm rooms for high school seniors going to a four-year college or university. So that's called Gifts for Grads. And then for the young ladies, we have a mentoring program called Girl Power. Wow. And it's ages 12 to 17. And with Girl Power, we call it the Butterfly Chronicles, where we teach them, you know, we break it down, the four phases of the butterfly. And we teach the young ladies everything from etiquette to self-mastery, to affirmations, to just evolving into who they are truly destined to be. And then I also have a sports camp. I'm a sports mom too. I try to host sports camps once or twice a year. My goal is to get one in every quarter. And that's called Camp of Champions. So everything that we do, you know, is basically encouraging, empowering, inspiring, letting people know that you can live unapologetically on purpose.
Right. I love it. I love it. If I'm ever up in that area, I want to make sure I come out there and support.
Absolutely.
You. Do what
we would love to have you.
Again. So, Kiana, thank you for being on the show today. And thank you for your willingness to come and share your expertise and your story. Absolutely. As you know, our podcast focuses on sharing the stories of amazing people like you yourself and having you kind of walk us through how you overcame some of your most difficult moments. So I'm going to start with my first question is, Kiana, what's been your biggest obstacle you've had to overcome either professionally or personally?
I think the biggest obstacle was giving my actual full complete yes. I was going through a separation at the time. I'm actually now divorced, and it was just a reality that I had never been through. You know, I was homeless. That was the easy part. I was physically and mentally and emotionally abused. That was the easy part. They were not as hard. And, you know, I'm always a survivor and an overcomer. It was easy to survive those things. But going through this particular transition was one that I literally got to see every side of me, if that makes sense. You know, I got to see the good, the bad, the ugly, the indifferent. And I began to shift. And for so many years, I would go through the motions of being happy. I was doing women's conferences and I was empowering and inspiring everybody else. And I was going through the motions myself. It's kind of like, you know, what Tupac Shakur said in his song, Keep Your Head Up. He said, you know, women, we are dying on the inside, but outside we're looking fearless.
Absolutely.
And that was me. You know, but this was one of my greatest shifts that I could ever imagine. And it was literally at the time of my separation going into the divorce. I couldn't understand it. Life as I knew it was falling apart. And like I said earlier, I was homeless. I know how to survive that. You know, I'm a mover, I'm a thinker. Yeah. And so, you know, you can give me something and I'm like, oh, I got the answer. I have the solution. But at this particular time, I had no answers,
yeah,
no solution. And I'm like, but I just said, yes, you know, I was working in corporate America and I was a business analyst. I had a phenomenal job. I was doing everything. But when I gave the full complete yes, that's when all hell broke loose.
Yeah. So tell us more about the complete yes. For those folks out there who may not necessarily know what you're talking about, what you mean behind that?
So my complete yes was to basically dedicate myself to helping others. And that is finding the truth. You know, when you give your complete yes, and when you give all of yourself, I was kind of like you, I was afraid to tell my true story.
Absolutely.
People, they knew me as being strong. I didn't know any other way but be strong. You know, they knew me as a survivor. Oh, Kiana, she's a survivor. She's great. She can do this. She's well off. But it's when I had to really face the reality of, you know, this company, A Diamond in the Rough Productions, is so much more than you just doing these conferences once a year. You have a mentoring program. You have to help women. You have to help young girls. You have to help people from all over. And when I began to realize that this is what I'm called to do, this is, you know, where I'm supposed to be as a Christian, you know, in prayer, I'm like, God, what is it? He just said, you're in transition. And I'm like, okay, transition is moving forward. I get it. You're incomplete. You know, you're moving and you're consistently growing. Transition is easy. And literally when I said, yes, I'm going to do this. Yes, I'm going to dedicate my time. When I tell you my job, I quit, my job was gone, you know, everything, and my marriage was falling apart. And I'm like, but wait, I didn't realize that saying yes to dedicating myself to this purpose that I'm called to do in life was going to strip me of everything.
Yes.
And I say strip me of everything, I mean, literally having to look inside myself and say, why?
Yes.
That's why I tell people you have to always know your why.
Yes.
That's the most important thing. And so when I began to realize my why, I began to think, you know, people, they don't just need to see the Kiana that's so strong, the Kiana that's, you know, the women, we wear an S on our chest. We have to, right? And so for me, it was like, you know, that S comes with a lot. You know, that S comes with perseverance. That S comes with a lot of tears. That S comes with a lot of frustration. That S comes with a lot of brokenness, abandonment.
Yeah.
And I was afraid to tell that part of my story. Like, who are? And so when I realized that I had to be honest with myself before I can be honest with anybody else, that's when the layers began to come off and I began to see, like, wow.
Absolutely. And you know, Kiana, you and I have similar stories in the sense that we both kind of spent a lot of time in foster homes and homeless, you know, as a kid growing up. So, and we're at a place now where we're kind of living out our calling.
Right.
I remember when I got the call to do the work that I'm doing, and it really kind of forced me to really kind of delve back into who Tommy Watson really was. And part of that meant going back and not just skating past the pain and kind of closing my eyes and saying, I'll get through it. I had to really kind of dig emotionally to say, okay, man, what did this moment do to me? When I was in this foster home, I was without my little baby sister. That crushed me, you know?
Wow.
You know? So what did I learn from it? You know, because again, with the work we're doing, we have to be able to go back and really reflect, delve into it. But we also have to take the lessons that we learned from it as well. So when you had to go back and really kind of delve into who Kiana really was and not just who the outside world thought you were, tell us about some of the emotions you had to deal with, because you had to get real, right? Real quick.
It's a moment where you really, really have to get real. And it's so funny that you asked that question, because now that I've gone through it, I tell the women today, you know, not the teenagers, but I tell the women, go back, to that little girl, go back to that place, what would you tell yourself back then? You know, when I had to face that part of my reality, the emotion, some of the emotions that I dealt with was loneliness, abandonment. I was angry, but I was not angry. I was angry at myself. I didn't have anyone to put my anger towards because, you know, growing up in foster care, your life changes consistently.
Absolutely.
To five high schools.
Wow.
And, you know, because you consistently move. I went to five high schools, two or three middle schools. I mean, I was always moving. And I never understood, you know, there's PTSD is real. And so, you know, just the hurt, the brokenness, the abandonment, the anger, the loneliness, the sadness, the, you know, feeling of, am I good enough? The feeling of, am I worthy enough? You know, I'm called to help other women. I remember, and I was literally thinking I was functioning on a great level at this point. And I remember when I had first gotten married, my husband and I, my ex-husband, now we were talking about having children. And I remember praying and saying, God, I don't want to have a girl. Mm. I can't have a daughter because I don't want her to go through what I've had to go through. I don't know how to help a young girl. I don't want to mess her up.
Yeah.
And so, and that was a form of insecurity that I didn't realize was there. And at that time I had women calling me, hey, I need you to come and teach and talk and encourage and inspire. And so even at that point, I literally did not realize the insecurity. So those emotions are very strong, and you have to, you know, once you recognize them, you really have to deal with them.
Yeah. You know, I appreciate
leave and bleed at the same time.
Absolutely. Being so honest about your journey, because there are a lot of folks out there who want to live in their purpose. Mm. They want to skate past the pain of Ooh. The past, but your pain will connect you to the purpose.
Yep.
So Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit more about how you had to go through the pain to get to your purpose. Mm. So what were some of the coping mechanisms that you were kind of, that you turned to help you during this transition? Because again, I know personally going through it as well, it takes some, it's not a one night experience.
No.
It's a duration of time, right?
It is.
Yes.
Well, coping mechanisms to deal with the pain. You know, I don't know if this is going to sound strange or not. You know, I love to, a way for me to cope when I was going through the pain was to eat sometimes. I would eat, like I love sweets. I would eat. Food became a comfort for me. Where I actually, and God is so good, I have lost over, like what you see now is not who I was. And so once I transformed, I completely physically transformed too. I was almost 300 pounds.
Wow.
What I did not know, eating was a coping mechanism for me. Yeah. Crying was a coping mechanism for me. Just, I would cry for no reason. And I didn't understand why I was crying. And then what's so funny is if I could, I love to encourage, I love to serve people. I love it. Like it brings me joy to see other people happy, to see other people doing well, to know that I can push you and support you. And so I was putting all of my energy into other people.
Yes.
And that's not a good thing when you're not dealing with your own self. And so I was ignoring me and, you know, using other people as an excuse to help them so that I could ignore my own pain. And so that may sound weird, but that was also a coping mechanism for me as well.
And again, that's a very real thing that people do to kind of hide the pain and to hide the raw emotions and feelings that go with delving back to it, though. So again, I appreciate your honesty in that area. You know, as you were going through this, did you have any mentors or guides who helped you?
I had, what's so funny is, I do. I call them my angels. I write about them in my stories, in my books. I call them my angels. I never had, because I moved around so much, it was funny because as an adult, you would think I've had, you know, one person told me, he said, you probably grew up a pampered bougie princess. I said, I wish that was really my calling, but no. But when you're in foster care and when you're moving from house to house, you don't really have a stable environment. But for me, I really believe that God favored me because there were always these women that would come into my life that are still
really,
they are constant. And you know, one taught me how to do my hair. Another one taught me how to make sure my body was clean. Another one taught me how to read, how to write, you know, journal your thoughts, journal your feelings. So I call them my angels. Yes. And there were several women, you know, my one foster mom, I still call her mom. We cry on the phone to this day. I'm literally her daughter.
Wow.
Her daughter is my sister. And, you know, I was 16 years old and she poured so much into me and I will never, ever forget her. There was Commander Gwendolyn Elliott. And it's so amazing that the relationships that I've fostered with these women, I'm literally using the inspiration from them to do what I do today. Commander Gwendolyn Elliott has a program called Gwen's Girls, nationally known. And I'm an honorary Gwen's Girl, but I've spoken, she holds summits. I've spoken at the summit to talk about my story. So it's really come full circle. So I call these women my angels.
Man, that is absolutely awesome. It is a blessing to have people like that in your life, you know, as mm-hmm. well. Because, you know, sometimes going through the foster care system can be very, very lonely as well.
Yes.
So those folks are stepping up and making you feel a part of the family as well. You know, so on your darkest, going back to that transition place you're going from the pain to purpose, man. On your darkest days, when you had to go back and deal with the pain and the emotions there, what kept you moving forward versus saying, hey, you know what, I'm going to close the chapter in my book and I'm going to go back out here and just kind of fake it and dance and make it seem like I'm okay. But what made you stay there and continue to deal with the pain?
I remember when, if I could tell you a brief story, I remember when I was writing my first book. And the title of my first book is called My Journey, My Peace. And it takes a look into my journey, my life. I mean, everything, like literally poured my heart out. And I remember when I was writing my book, I love to write. I journal everything. And I was sitting at my dining room table and I was writing, and I've always had the name A Diamond in the Rough. I remember in 99 when I got that name, I remember saying, oh, that name sounds familiar. I looked up the definition, and the definition of a diamond in the rough is a precious gem or stone, but it's lacking polish and refinement. Yes. And so I remember writing the book, and the chapter that I was writing was A Diamond in the Rough. That's the name of a chapter. And as I was sitting there and I was writing, I heard the Lord say, you are the diamond in your story. And I'm like, what? You are the diamond in your story. And so every time, you know, and this was during that process, I literally wrote 3 books during that process.
Yes.
All published. And so I remember going through it. There were times where I was, you know, overwhelmed. I was crying. I was writing. I was broken. Yeah. I'm like, I can't help nobody in this phase. But what kept me, you know, going strong was realizing diamonds are formed under pressure.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Diamonds are absolutely formed under pressure. And it's really not about me. You know, I'm going through so that I can help you.
Absolutely.
So what I've learned, and I love quotes and I live by quotes, and I have come up with some quotes. And one of my favorite quotes that I've come up with is falling is not failure, and failure is certainly not defeat. The only time you fail is when you give up.
That's right.
So you can't give up. You can't give up on you, because if you give up on you, then somebody else is lost.
That's
and your purpose is not fulfilled. And so just keep continuously reminding myself, diamonds are formed under pressure. You know, everything in my life relates back to being a gem. My mom used to call me precious when I was little. So that is the one thing that kept me going, realizing that I'm not a failure. And then I had 2 beautiful sons who are my lifeline. And so just thinking about them, like you have to leave a legacy. You can't give up. They need you.
Right. So. That is awesome. And I think for the folks out there, that piece of information is going to be very, very critical for you to hear. Because again, sometimes when you're going through, you're saying, why is this happening to me versus why is this happening for me?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, absolutely.
Something happened for you for a bigger reason. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Keon, as you look back today, how would you say that pivotal point in your life shaped you as a person today?
Wow. It's It's caused me to be resilient. Mm-hmm. It's caused me to be stronger than I've ever been. Mm-hmm. You know, I was writing a book, my second book, Metamorphosis. I was writing it, and I have a scribe coach, and I was telling my scribe coach, I said, I'm so broken. I cannot write this. I can't write this right now. She said, yes, you can. She said, just write down how you feel.
Yeah.
So I said, all right. And so I began to write the book, and I was done. I was finally done. I gave it to her. And she said, okay. She said, this is good. And she gave it right back to me. And I said, what's wrong with it? She said, you wrote from a broken person's point of view. She said, but now you're the expert because yeah. you've gone through it. So you have to write from the expert's point of view. And so I think, you know, me becoming the expert, you know, and now I can tell you, I tell people all the time, I can't tell you ice cream is sweet and I've never tasted it.
Right.
And that was the problem in the beginning. I was trying to get to the sweet part. Right. You know what I mean? I was trying to, hey, ice cream is really, really good, but let me tell you how I got there. You know, right. ice cream, it doesn't start out sweet. It starts out as ice. It yeah. starts out as milk. It starts out as so many things, but it takes a minute for it to get to that sweet part, just like baking a cake. Eggs, flour, sugar, it's not good by itself. And when you put it together and it goes through the process, it's amazing. And so for me, I felt like, you know, just being strong and it's taught me to really reflect and to be honest and be true. And it's okay to not be okay. You know, people, they're going to relate to your truth more than anything. They're not going to relate to, you know, I find people asking me more of questions like, wow, I can relate. How did you do it? I was in a domestic violence relationship. How did you make it through? You know, so, you know, people relate to truth. So it's caused me to really be true to my true self, be true to who I am. You know, it's caused me to shine brighter than I've ever shined.
That's right. I love it. And thank God that you listened and you followed directions and kept going as well. You know, so as you look back on that transition time today, mm-hmm. did you do anything differently?
Absolutely not.
That's good. Very well
Absolutely
said.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. Hey, for my listeners out there, I want you guys to pay attention that 99.9% of my guests say they would not change anything. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Yes, go ahead.
No, absolutely not. I think, you know, because for me, I feel like, you know, had I not gone through homelessness, had I not lost my brother, had I not, you know, been abused physically. And when I was younger, my abuse started at the age of 6. Wow. And so, you know, when I tell you, you know, beaten, tied up in basements, you know, just physically wearing scars on your body at the age of 7 years old, going to school, not being able to sit down, hungry, not being able to eat, then becoming an adult, you know, never knowing what domestic violence is, walking around with a bloody nose. Yeah. I mean, just so much. But everything that I've gone through has made me who I am today. So I can't change that story because I don't know who I would be. I could be passive. I could be, you know, a person who is abusive. I would never change my story for anything in the world because it truly made me the diamond that I am.
That is awesome. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. So, you know, Kiana, as you know, you think about this year we're in 2021, we're coming off a year where a lot of people have experienced loss in 2020. They lost loved ones, lost finances, lost positions. Some of them even lost hope. What words of advice can you give those folks out there to let them know that a brighter day is to come?
A brighter day is to come. Well, I would say, because I understand the transition of this past year, stay true to who you are. There will be hard times, yes. but remember that's all a part of the process.
That's right.
And it's all a part of your process is basically the pursuit of your purpose.
Yes.
If you cry, if you have to cry, scream, if you have to scream, take a day or two or 12, do whatever you have to do. But you are the only person. I think his name is Coach Ace. I love what he said. You are the only person that can do what you are called to do. The world has enough of them, but right. be the first you. That's and right. so I would encourage you, you know, again, falling is not failure and failure is not defeat. And so, you know, it's okay to cry. It's okay to be down, but don't stay there.
Yes.
Courage. Know your why. You know, you are empowered to inspire.
Boy, great advice from Kiana Buckner. Boy. So if you guys are looking for a coach or speaker out there, you got to make sure you reach out to her, get her books. Kiana, if people want to connect with you, what's the best way to connect with you?
They can go to my website. It's www.ladyqnetwork.com. My Instagram is @official_ladyqnetwork. And my Facebook is @ladyqnetwork, capital L, capital Q, capital N.
Wow. You know, you're big time when you start using the your official piece. So big time.
Yeah.
So, you know, Kiana, we talked about some tough stuff. Are you ready to have some fun now?
Sure.
All right. This part of our show is called the Rapid Fire Purpose Questions. You've been talking a lot about purpose.
Oh, goodness.
What are we going to do here? So I'm going to read off a number of questions to you. I'm not going to elaborate on any of the questions. I want you to give me and the audience your best answer.
Okay.
All right. You ready?
I think so.
All right. Tell us how you have turned a dream into reality.
I turn a dream into reality. You act on it. Yeah. You act on it. My dream was to have a talk show. I acted on it. My dream was to have a magazine. That's coming to pass. You act on it. You believe in yourself. You act on it.
I love it. What gives your life meaning?
My children.
Okay. What one word best describes you?
Diamond.
Okay, good. I like that. What problem do you want to solve in our world?
Racism.
Okay. What was your favorite thing to do as a kid?
Sing.
Okay. Who's your favorite singer?
Oh God, there's so many of them. Jeez. If I had to choose just one, I would say Patti LaBelle.
Okay. Good answer. Good response. Yeah. What do you wish you had more time to do?
Vacation.
What is your 15-year-old self imagine you would be doing right now?
Wow. What I'm doing, inspiring, but I would be probably a millionaire by now. I would probably be a millionaire. That's coming, but yeah, I'd be rich. Doing what I do, inspiring, teaching, loving people the way that I do. I've always, where I am now, I knew I was going to be years ago.
That's right. That's good. What's something about yourself that we might be surprised to learn about you?
That I am a stickler for organization.
Okay.
I can't take dysfunction. Like, you would think the life that I lived and moving around, it gotta be okay. But organization is everything, especially for people like you and I who have companies, who have events. You gotta be organized. It's a skin.
Yes. Who inspires you the most?
Wow. Monique, the comedian Monique. She was the first person who taught me what it meant to love myself. And that was simply telling her, when she had her talk show, she was telling her audience to wrap their arms around themselves and hug themselves and love themselves. And she's like, if nobody ever hugged you, you've just been hugged. So she really, her confidence, her uniqueness, her honesty, you know, with who she is and, you know, her audience, I'm always inspired by her.
That's awesome. I love it. Good pick. What's on your bucket list to do within the next year?
This is going to sound so funny, but please don't judge me. Please don't judge me.
No judgment zone here.
Start dating. Let's just start dating. I got to put bucket list. That's a shame.
You got to get out there. You got to get out there. Yes, get out there. I'm sure there are going to be a lot of listeners who might want to try to connect with you after hearing this as well. What's something you'll spend your time doing no matter what?
Journaling, writing.
Okay, good one. What do you want your grandchildren to say about you?
Do I want them to see about me?
What do you want your grandchildren to say about you?
Say, oh, that she was awesome. She was powerful. She was strong. She was an influencer.
Okay, love it. If you were a superhero, what would your superpower be?
Overcoming.
What sparks your creativity?
Anything. I can create something out of nothing.
Okay.
Literally, like you can tell me a color and I can create something.
Okay, that's good. I love it.
Yeah.
If you became president today, what law would you pass first?
I would pass an education law for teachers. I would increase the pay. Right. I would increase the pay for teachers. We're actually working on a bill for that right now.
Awesome. Yeah. You get a lot of amens out there with that one as well. If you could follow someone around for a day, who would it be and why?
Wow. It would probably be Vice President Kamala Harris, just to see what a day in the life of her would be like in the position that she's in now.
Yes, I love it. What's been the best gift you've ever received?
I think for me, this may sound cliche, the best gift is really, it's nothing physical, it's just the second chance at life, because there was a time in my life where I didn't think I was gonna make it.
Yeah.
You know, I thought I was gonna die. I was supposed to die. Mm-hmm. And so just looking back and thinking, you know, there were so many times that I almost didn't make it and that I shouldn't be here today. So just grateful for a second chance at life, to be able to get it right again.
I love it. Amen. Amen. Yes. What's one thing you have never been afraid to do?
Speak.
Okay. What moment from your childhood are you most proud of?
From my childhood, my last moment with my brother. My brother passed away. He was 10. I was 9. We were 11 months apart. And he was my strength. He was my security. And he was teaching me how to ride a bike.
Right.
And I could not for the life of me get the concept of putting your feet together and pedaling. I just couldn't get it. And one of our last moments together, he was holding the back seat and I'm on the bike. And he said, just pedal. And so I start pedaling. He let go.
Wow.
I did it on my own. And that was, I'll never forget the feeling that I had. That moment, I was so proud. And, you know, as a kid, you know, being abused and growing up, you don't have too many grand moments, but that moment, the way it made me feel was just awesome. So
that's great. It sounds like an awesome brother there as well. What does success look like for you?
Wow. Success is, to me, is knowing who you are, walking in your purpose. Well, not walking, but fulfilling your purpose. It's not about the money. It's not about, you know, the possession, the physical means. Success is just loving you and living your life unapologetically, knowing who you are. That's success, you know, not worrying about what other people think. When you can live, you know, vivaciously and courageously as yourself, you've obtained so much. You've conquered the world.
Absolutely. I love it. What are you most grateful for?
I am most grateful just to be a mom. I'm so simple, and this is so funny. You would think someone like me has all of these great things. I love being a mom to my babies. I do.
Yeah. But that's special. Nothing greater than, you know, being a parent. But yeah. What's been the biggest lesson you have learned in life?
The biggest lesson that I've learned is to don't take people's kindness for weakness. Mm-hmm. Take others for granted.
Yes.
Because tomorrow is not promised.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Always speak up. Always say, if someone's on your heart, if you're thinking about someone, don't negate the fact to say hello or how are you doing. Always, 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 because you may not get a second chance to share that love, to say hello. So always speak up. Never, ever, ever skip a moment or opportunity to reach out or to brighten someone's day.
That's a powerful lesson. Yes, thanks for sharing that. Mm-hmm. And then last but not least, Kiana, how do you want to be remembered in history?
As a hero. As a hero, I want to be remembered as someone who inspired others, as someone who empowered others, as someone who fought for and spoke up for people who just couldn't do it themselves. I walk in so many lanes. I deal with education. I want to be known as someone who made history in the realm of education, fighting for our educators and our students at an early age. Just someone who loved people to the fullest extent possible.
Yes. Kiana, you survived. Give yourself a round of applause. Awesome job. Great job. Great response. I really appreciate that again. And Kiana, if people want to get a hold of you, and let me tell you again, folks, if you're out there and you look for a speaker, a coach, whatever it is she does, you got to get out there and support her.
Thank you.
Get her books. What's the best way to get a hold of you again?
They can reach me on my website. Again, that's www.ladyqnetwork.com. My Instagram is @TheOfficial_LadyQNetwork. And my Facebook is @LadyQNetwork with the capital L, capital Q, and capital N.
Oh, that's awesome. And hopefully, folks, you guys have been inspired by Kiana's story, her resilience, yes. Her heart for serving, her purpose. You know, it's been amazing. So, you know, Kiana, we're going to wrap things up. You know, the focal point of our show is on two different things, on purpose and resiliency. Mm-hmm. What last words do you leave our audience with around purpose and resiliency?
Resilience is going to come. It's going to come. You know, you just have to, resilience is not something that can happen overnight. You know who you are, that pain that drives your purpose causes you to be resilient, if I can say it like that. And so resilience is going to come. As far as your purpose is concerned, your pain is what drives your purpose. Always remember that. You know, it's usually the pain, what you go through, that pain is probably where you'll find your purpose.
Yes.
And so once you find out your purpose, that pain that drives your purpose, then your passion is in pursuit. And so just be encouraged. Know that you are meant to do what you are called to do. Nobody else can do it like you. So your purpose is your purpose, not mine, but it's yours.
Folks, wonderful and great and inspiring wisdom from Kiana Buckner. Mm-hmm. Kiana, I can't thank you enough for being here with
you're
us
welcome.
Today. Hey, folks out there, if you're someone with an amazing story, you're an overcomer, I want you to go to TAWatson.com and share your story with us. Subscribe to our podcast, Resilient Stories. Download it, rate it, share with your folks on social media. Again, we want to thank our sponsor for today, Racially Conscious Collaboration. Go to their website, support them as they fight for they fight against the injustices that are taking place in our society. And again, everyone out there, thank you very much. God bless. Peace and deuces, everyone.
Yours truly, Dr. Watson.